it turns into this narcissistic thing where I sit there.
But you can see that.
Yeah, totally. I love the sound of my own voice. And the only thing I love more than that is somebody else who loves the sound of my own voice.
I know.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
It's been a long time. I think the last episode we did, our son was 9 or 10 months old, and now he's 20 months old. So I think it's been a year. Sorry.
Yeah.
But let me paint you a little picture so you can imagine where we are now.
Please.
We're sitting in a tiny, it's a 12 by 12 cabin that Eric built on our in our woods at our house.
Mm-hmm.
We have a nice little fire going. We're cozy in here. It's, you know, it's November, so it's chilly outside.
Yeah.
But we are nice and toasty and warm, and we're alone.
Yeah.
There's no toddler.
You don't hear any screaming.
No screaming, no crying, no maniacal laughter. And that's because I think for the first time since he was born, we got a babysitter today.
Yeah.
So we're like 50 feet away from our house.
Yeah.
No, how many feet away are we?
We're probably like 100 yards.
We're 100 yards away from our house in a quiet cabin in the woods.
Yeah.
Two lovely women who we trust are watching our toddler.
This cabin is truly one of my happy places.
It's really nice. This is a good podcasting area. It's like a good size.
Yeah.
And we're, the first thing we said, we realized we have them for 8 hours today. And the first thing we said is, we got to record a podcast episode. That's what we want to spend our free time doing.
Yeah.
Not getting drunk and having enchiladas in Woodstock.
Coming out of podcast
retirement.
Which
we're doing right after this. We never really meant to stop doing episodes. It's just, you know what? It's hard to have free time for a podcast when you have a toddler.
Yeah.
Why didn't anyone warn us?
I got no free time for anything.
I thought he would want to like sit there and watch us do a podcast.
Yeah. And like laugh at my jokes.
Well, he does laugh at your jokes.
He does. Yeah, that is true.
He'll laugh at your joke and then run off screaming in the other direction.
Yeah.
And nothing you do can bring him back.
Yeah. I thought he'd see us setting up the microphones and be like, oh shit, this is going to be good. And like really settle in, grab a milk and just hang out.
Oh yeah. We could probably throw on Cocoa Melon and he would ignore us for an hour.
Yeah.
So he's 20 months old, and we'll talk about what that's been. I meant to do an episode when he was a year, but then we didn't. And then once we missed that one, it was just sort of like, eh. But I have continued to hear from people who listen to the podcast that they find it helpful.
Oh, that's great.
They find it funny.
Good for them.
So I'm we'll try and keep it going.
Yeah.
What should we talk about first? Do you want to talk about what it's like having a 20-month-old?
Yeah, I think first we should talk about how this episode's brought to you by Rizzoli and Isles on USA.
I was going to say it's brought to you by Aperol Spritz in a little bottle, which I am enjoying right now.
Yeah, a little mom shooter, they call them.
Oh, I love that. Aperol Spritz, the official mom shooter.
Yeah. Yeah. A little tiny bottle of Aperol Spritz. This mom here is unwinding with one right now.
By the way, can I just say, I'm so upset that it took so long for society to get to the point that you can go to a liquor store and buy a little pre-mixed cocktail that you can drink like a normal person while everyone else is having a beer.
Yeah.
Why did it take until the year 2022 to invent that?
You know, I remember when I went to Europe for the first time in the early aughts when I was in college.
He loves saying the early aughts.
And you can just go, at the time you were able to just go to a grocery store and you could buy a mixed, like a cocktail, like a mixed drink in a can.
So it's one of those things like chips on credit cards that Europe figured out 20 years ago. And just took
widescreen TVs.
Did they do that first?
Yeah. I went there and they had cocktails in cans and every bar had like a wide flat screen TV.
And, I was like, am I in the future?
What the fuck is going on over here? What sort of, is this Hedonism 3? What is, it was amazing. And now here we are. We've caught up.
We did it. Why did you say Rizzoli and Isles?
Remember in a previous episode when I kept saying the names of like USA TV shows and I said we were sponsored by USA.
Oh, USA the network.
Characters welcome.
Yeah, I think Aperol Spritz is a classier sponsor for
definitely,
us.
Definitely, yeah.
More modern.
AJ, if you're still working under the umbrella of this podcast, please cut that joke out.
Okay, Eric, tell me what it is like having a 20-month-old.
Well, you wake up every morning much earlier than you would prefer to the sound of blood-curdling screams.
Today we woke up at 8:30, so we're doing okay.
Yeah, we slept in, folks. I was up until pretty late last night, sanding a chair for my little man.
He's building a little toddler-sized mid-century modern wood. What kind of wood are you using? Like walnut?
Walnut.
Very nice wood that our kid is going to outgrow in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, I expect him to just pick it up and smash it as soon as I hand it to him, but that's fine. It's his to smash if that's what he wants to do. It's just, you know, you hear about the terrible twos, which he seems to be approaching. And I don't know, I wouldn't say he's terrible, but he is definitely very sort of energetically
moody. What's the word
you
used about him the other day?
Contrarian?
Contrarian, I think is what you said.
He says no to everything. He refuses everything, even if it's like exactly what he wants. And then you can just put it down and walk away and then he'll go get it.
Yeah.
It's this weird.
If you tell him to go in one direction, he'll go in the other direction. If you try and put his shoes on, put him in his stroller, put him in a car seat.
Yeah.
Forget about it.
So we're at our upstate home. And I've had him for the week while you were working.
You had him for 3 days and then I've had him for the past 2 days.
Yeah, yeah. No, but I'm saying like I was not trying to start a competition over who's been watching him.
But let's just be real about you. You didn't have him for the week.
I didn't have him for the week. I had him for 3 days prior to Thanksgiving and then Maya took over. So, but during those 3 days, you know, you have errands to run, you're out doing things. So like I had to put him in the car, get him out of the car, put him in the car, get him out of the car. And every single time I had to put him in his car seat, it looked like I was abducting a child in a shopping center parking lot. It was, people are looking, he's screaming, no, no. And I'm like, just sit in the seat.
Didn't some lady say something to you?
Oh, at Walmart that time?
Yeah.
She walked up. I mean, you know, we live in a weird place. I was at Walmart, which, you know, is already like you're skimming the weirdness out of the weird place already and concentrating into a single place.
We love our local Walmart.
Yeah. Anyway, so I was at the checkout and he was in the shopping cart in the little seat, just looking around. And she walked up and said, "What? You look so sad. What did you do to him?" Like she said to him, and she touched his face. She said, "You look so sad."
Oh, this is the crazy lady.
Yeah. And I was like, "Whoa, whoa, step back, lady." And she was like, "What did you do to him?" And I was like, "Get away from us." And yeah, I don't know. What did I do? I let him watch 10 episodes of Cocomelon. I sang Wheels on the Bus in the car all the way to Walmart. I bought him 900 toys. While she's like, "What did you do to him?" I'm like, the guy's scanning like 100 toys. And I'm like, I came here to get bread or something. I don't know.
Wait, while we're just real quick, while we're talking about people saying stuff, do you want to tell that story about what the guy said to you at the grocery store?
Oh, yeah.
Just since you have the platform, but make the quick version, okay?
Okay, so I was at the grocery store and I'm really tall, so everybody, I'm 6 foot eight. So everywhere I go, everybody talks to me about how tall I am.
You know, every time I tell someone I have a tall husband, they're like, "Oh, what is he, 6'3"? And yeah. I'm like, 6'3" is like a tiny person to me.
Yeah.
6'3", you're not even tall. You can just walk through doorways if you're 6'3".
Yeah. I had a conversation with a guy who was 6'1" last night. And
6'1", come on.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It was when I was at Walmart last night. The guy at the checkout was like, "Hey, let me ask you a question." Because he asked me how tall I was. I said 6'8". And he said, "Let me ask you a question. What is it like to be 6'8" and drive a car?" And I said, "Well, I've never driven a car while not being 6'8". So to me, it just feels like driving a car."
Okay, the best thing is everyone is always so disappointed by Eric's answers because they think he's going to be like a tall clown and like entertain them with stories of being a tall person.
I was like, I mean, does this dude think I'm like Tom Hanks and Big and I just woke up today 6'8" and drove a car
okay,
over?
Tell the one thing. That
anyway, so I was at the grocery store here upstate and this guy at the checkout who was, you know, checking me out, he was just like, "Man, you are so tall." And I'm like, "Yeah, I get it." And he's like, it just would not let it go. Just kept going. And he was like, "That height is not normal. You know that, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah, you're really making me feel that way." And he kept going and going and going to the point that the woman who was behind me, he kept asking me if I played basketball, if I had ever dunked a basketball. And I was like, "No, I don't play basketball. I'm not into it." And he's like, I just don't believe you that you never dunked a basketball, blah, blah, blah. And finally, the lady behind me was like, "Just because he's tall doesn't mean he plays basketball. Come on, man. Like, let's get this moving." And so he says to me, "It's just that you're the tallest person I've ever seen in my entire life. And I'm at my job. It would be like if you saw the shortest person you've ever seen in your life while you were at your job." And I was like, "That would be incredible."
Oh my God. It's so funny.
It's just, there's nothing, you know, in those moments, you hope that there's something that you can say to that person that will hold a mirror up to them in some way that they'll be like,
we've tried, you can't.
They'll be like, oh, that was the dumbest thing anyone's ever said.
Oh my God.
But it's not possible, but good times.
Yeah. So funny. And related to that, so our son is now huge also. Everyone likes to say he's the size of a 3-year-old.
Yeah, and I'm getting very overprotective.
Yeah, I know. And we took him in for his 18-month checkup a couple months ago to the pediatrician. And they said something like, this is the biggest 18-month-old we've had in our office in months or ever, or... I don't remember what she said.
She also said he's the most well-behaved.
Oh, what did somebody say that he has a...
He has a strong, beautiful heart.
Yeah. And we're like, good, he's going to need it because he's going to be huge.
Yeah.
So he's very large. He's very funny.
Yeah.
He's a little comedian.
Yeah. He's definitely into physical comedy, which I can appreciate.
He gets from you. But he's like, he loves, he definitely gets into jokes and then he'll tell them over and over again. And he's starting to get our jokes. Like when we are laughing, he'll laugh, which is really cute. His favorite joke is to say no, 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 and wave his little finger.
Yeah. Or to just put anything on his head.
Yes. Because you laughed at that one time and now he thinks it's the funniest thing in the world.
Yeah. I mean, it was funny. You put something on your head, that's usually pretty funny. Yeah.
They said at daycare that when they ask all the kids to help, all the other kids go and do whatever they're supposed to do. And ours yells, hey, and then chases everyone around going, no, no, no. And we were like, that doesn't seem good.
Yeah.
He's in daycare.
Yes.
Which has been amazing. He's in full-time daycare at a really nice place in Brooklyn. And it's been really nice for socializing. Like, he's definitely less weird with other kids now than he was before. Yeah, yeah. And it's one of those where there's an app where we can check throughout the day and they upload pictures and videos. And in every picture, he's like, well, unless he's having a bad day, but usually in every picture, he's like laughing, he's hugging a kid, he's helping with something.
Yeah.
He's been taking great naps there. So, it's been really great.
Yeah, absolutely. That has been that because we went from, we were living full time upstate and we had a nanny. And then when we moved back down to Brooklyn, we did the daycare thing. And I really think that the socializing, I mean, that's something that I was personally worried about.
Yeah. But
I think that,
it's just so nice. Like he's in a class with kids his own age.
Yeah.
They're getting to know each other. They're like little friends. When we drop him off, there's one or two girls that always run up and give him a hug.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
And so of course we are going to disrupt that and pull him out of the daycare that he loves. And we've decided we hate being in the city. We're moving back upstate where we will have no childcare again.
Well, it's not
because
all,
we are geniuses.
It's not all, you know, good times and hugs from the ladies at daycare. It's also nonstop sickness.
Yes.
Which has been pretty trying.
Yeah. He got COVID a while ago. He got RSV. He got.
He's literally been sick nonstop
since he started
daycare.
Yeah. Which was like 4 months ago or something. Yeah. He got some like bacterial infection that wouldn't go away. He's had constant colds and probably flus. We did take him to the pediatrician every time he was sick because he was getting some rough fevers.
Yeah.
And finally the pediatrician was like, he's going to be sick all winter. That's it. He's in daycare. He's not going to get better. And we were like, okay.
So maybe that will chill out when we move back up here.
Yeah. Hopefully. I mean, we'll see. We're not sure. We may still put him in a daycare up here. We're seeing what the options are, but it would be nice if it's like slightly less sickness.
Yeah. It's literally 1 week he's super sick. Next week he's like back to normal and recovering. And then the next week it's like the new illness.
Yeah. But he's had a runny nose for 4 months straight. His nose has not stopped running since he started daycare.
So that's cool. That's good times.
But I think, I mean, maybe for anyone who's like thinking about staying in the city after they have kids, I think it can be really nice. Like if you have a strong support system, and maybe like friends nearby who also have kids or something.
Yeah.
I think you might enjoy being in the city and it's really nice because there's good, reliable daycare.
And $1 billion.
And if you have $1 billion, yes. Cause it's super expensive. And I think that we have not been loving how expensive everything is, but I think the other issue for us is like, we just don't do anything in the city. So the daycare has been great. But then on the weekends, we have our son, we're both exhausted the whole time. And it's like, okay, let's take him to a museum. Cause we're in New York City. And then we're so exhausted by the idea of like traveling an hour to get to the Natural History Museum that we're like, let's just take him to that same park down the street.
Yeah.
Which is like not that different from taking him to the one playground we have up here.
We have taken him to the Natural History Museum.
It was really fun, but it was a big thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's,
And we were like, we were so tired because we took him on the subway. But it's like, even if you drive, that's a whole thing because of the traffic. I think we had this vision of like, we would get to the city and we would like get babysitters and go hang out with our friends. And the reality is like, why don't we? Why haven't we gotten babysitters?
It's just so...
I mean, for me, I think it's like, I'm just so tired. I'm like, I just want to go to sleep early. I'm not trying to go out and drink, especially on the weekend because I'm tired from watching him all day. It's like...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know why it didn't work out. But yeah, there is this like, I don't know. I feel like when we're with a toddler and that means just sort of like dealing with all the toddler stuff. It's not, you know, he's in daycare, right? But then we bring him home and it's like, we're going through bedtime, we're doing all that stuff. And it's like, it's when you're with a toddler, it's like the foot is on the gas pedal the whole time.
Yeah.
And then when he goes down to sleep, it's like, oh, okay. Now we try to reset. Now we clean up. Now we kind of prep things for the next morning, all that stuff.
And we get to sit on the couch for like an hour before we go to sleep.
Yeah. And it's like the thought of.
Yeah. Like of getting like, dressed up and going to meet people and have a drink.
Yeah. And we're going to like pay more money for someone to come and sit on our couch and watch that TV show that we would be watching so that we can go to a bar and listen to our friends talk about like their latest Tinder date that didn't work out. It's like, the fuck am I doing here?
Yeah. Is that what your friends talk about, Tinder?
Yeah, it's the only thing they talk about. Oh, they just talk about the girl that they went out with last night that they met on an app, who was somehow weirder than the girl they went out with two nights ago that they met on an app. And hopefully, you know, the next one tomorrow or tonight after they're done hanging out with me will be less weird.
And we're like that scene in When Harry Met Sally where we're like, oh, we're lucky. Thank God we don't have to deal with that.
Yeah. And I'm just staring like a shell-shocked Vietnam veteran. Just... like the guy in the Every Rose Has Its Thorn video in front of the TV.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
There's got to be a 45-year-old out there listening to this who gets that.
Well, we did finally start couples therapy.
Yep.
Which I would recommend to anyone with a child.
Yeah.
I recently read the book, How Not to Hate Your Husband After Having Kids. And it was so funny. We were hanging out with one of my friends who just had a kid. And she was like, oh, I just started reading this book. And I was like, I know exactly what you're talking about. I liked it. It gave me some helpful perspective. But I think that's another thing that maybe like, you know, we waited a year and a half after we had our kid to go like talk to someone about how hard it's been on our relationship. And I think it's been really nice. Like, it's just so hard to have the space to do anything other than like working and keeping your kid alive.
Yeah.
And so it's been nice having that space for our marriage.
Yeah, I agree.
But one of the things that we talk about in couples therapy all the time is like, how is it possible that neither of us ever feels like we get a break? Because there's two people.
Yeah.
But we haven't been able to figure out this equation of like, if I'm working, then it feels like when I'm not working, I have to watch him, but then I don't get a break.
Right.
But you also feel like you don't get a break.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
Well, I mean, I guess that's not exactly how I feel, but I think that it's you work very long hours and you have a very demanding job. So it's very exhausting. And, you know, but like when I have, so like this week, for instance, like when I have Benny for the whole day, I'm sure the last thing you want to do is like go from your demanding job into the craziness of keeping a toddler from hitting his head on every corner in the room,
which he does anyway.
Yeah, but it's just it is just, and having him scream at you and
throw stuff
and
make big messes.
Just the demands of that. So I completely understand that.
Well, I think it really comes down to childcare, right? Because it's like on the days where he is in daycare, we're good because then when I finish work, you're not already exhausted. And then we're all just hanging out together.
Right.
And same for the weekends, like when you actually get that time during the week. But he's been sick so much that it's like, it feels rare that you actually get a full work week.
Yeah. Yeah. The issue is when he's sick, he can't go to daycare. So I have him home.
And he's sick so much.
It's honestly every other week. Yeah. He's sick for an entire week, recovers, goes back to daycare, starts getting sick halfway through the week, and then he's sick by the weekend, and then he's out of daycare again, and it's just this cycle. So like there's no routine other than that. Like the being sick disrupts the childcare, and if we don't have the childcare, then it's like it falls on one of us, and if it's going to fall on me because you're working during the day and I'm not. So, you know,
well, you have a flexible schedule.
I have a flexible schedule. It's not that I'm not working, but I am self-employed, we'll call it, I guess.
I call it fun employed.
Fun employed is probably better. I am not a person who generates income is probably
yes,
you a
better do. Way. It's just inconsistent.
Like, when?
Sometimes you could.
Yeah. I sold pot in college once. Anyway, so it's like, I mean, a day watching a toddler is exhausting, but your job is exhausting, right?
Right.
So your day at work is exhausting.
I know. And I think that's the thing. That's the issue that I always come back to is like, if this were the other way around and you were employed and I was fun employed and like pursuing something creative, but like it hadn't turned into a full-time thing yet.
Yeah.
I would just be a full-time mom.
Yeah.
And nobody would, I wouldn't feel like I should be doing anything else. You wouldn't thank me for it. It would just be like, that's how it works.
Yeah.
And I just get, I mean, I have my own individual therapist as well. I have like 800 therapists helping me through this. But with her, it's like every conversation turns into this just like real like anger that I feel at the patriarchy, like, because it does just feel so crazy that it's like with the situation reversed, I'm working, like I'm the primary breadwinner. And the second I finish work, I'm like, oh, I got to come relieve you so you can like have a break.
Yeah. Yeah. It's totally unfair.
It would just never happen the other way around. It would be like, I would be watching him and then I would prepare dinner for you. And then I would put the kid to bed and I would be like trying to make sure that you were rested for work the next day.
I'm not sure that you're talking about our specific relationship, but I think you're talking about like, in the traditional,
I'm talking about both. Yeah.
It's male, like
our,
female.
Our, like, what's the opposite of macro?
Micro?
Micro.
Is your brain okay?
I'm getting hungry. Like, our specific issues, I think, are one thing. But then when I think about how, like, broad and fucked up that is, it makes me really angry. Like, when I'm thinking about you and me, I feel like I have some, I understand the situation and I have empathy for you because I care about you because, you know, we're married.
Yeah.
But when
also,
I think about just what society has done that makes me feel like I have to
do the job,
take care of my son and take care of you. And I have to be good at all those things. And then all you have to do is sort of like not leave. It's sort of like, that's the threshold.
I mean, yeah. Can I get a little pat on the back for not walking out? Anybody?
Don't. Our listeners get so mad when you start.
Do they?
Talking. Yes.
Oh.
Remember we got a bunch of hate mail from that one episode.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
I came in too hot with the sarcasm.
Yeah.
Geez, I'm so sorry, whoever that was.
But it is hard, you know? But my point with all this stuff is like, I do think that regardless of what your specific situation is, I think anyone with a first kid like probably does need some, it's a big change to your relationship and to your, like how you think of yourself.
Oh my God, yeah, yeah.
Just this concept of like, the sequel to God of War came out.
Yeah.
I think a couple weeks ago or this week or something. And all I wanted to do this week was like get a couple hours to play the sequel. And I haven't even gotten around to setting up my PlayStation. It's like, that just seems like, I think I have to wait for my kid to go to college or something before I ever get to play video games again. And there's so many people I know who are just like, oh, I'm bored over Thanksgiving break. I had so much free time.
Yeah. I mean, to address something you said just a moment ago, I do think that if the situation were reversed in our specific relationship, I don't think I would stop working for the day and be like, all right, go cook me some food and keep watching that kid. I think I would immediately take over with the kid. And I think that.
Do you remember how tired you were when you were working and we didn't have a kid?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And my point is, I think that the way women are raised is like you have to keep going even when you're tired and you have to take care of everyone around you. And I think I'm generalizing.
Yeah.
I think you would try. I think you would like want to hang out with us, but
I don't think I'd be good at it or happy about it, but I think I would.
But that's really the key, isn't it? Because I'm still good at it and happy about it.
Are you? You're good at it, but you're not happy about it. I mean, you're talking about the patriarchy and saying how you're enslaved by society.
Like when I finish work at 6, I missed him. I really want you to have a break. Like do I not seem cheerful when I'm like coming to take over with him after work?
Well, sure. But
that's my point is like, but then when I take a step back and I'm like, what has society done to me that's what I think I have to do after a long day of work? Know what I'm saying?
Right.
So like personally, I am happy to do it. But when I think about women in general, I'm like, it's fucked up.
I hear you. Yes. Okay.
But I think the point is, I think couples therapy has been helpful.
Yeah.
We have this very nice therapist named Joe who.
I like Joe.
I like him too. I mean, he almost never says anything. As you can probably imagine, if you listen to this podcast, we just.
We don't let him get too many words in.
And sometimes after we've been going back and forth and like yelling at each other for like half an hour, he'll be like, if I could just, and we're like, oh my God, Joe, sorry, go ahead. And then he's like, I just want to propose. I'm not saying this is true. I'm not saying this is true of either one of you, but I'm just going to give you a hypothetical example.
Yeah.
And then he explains exactly how we feel.
The thing I like about Joe is that he does not seem terribly impressed with our shtick.
I know.
And I like that.
We need that.
We really need that.
Eric has been in therapy before for years where it's people who just like are too entertained by him and then nothing really gets done.
Yeah.
That's not good for you.
It's just, it turns into this narcissistic thing, yes, where I sit there.
But it's good you can see that.
Yeah, totally. I love the sound of my own voice. And the only thing I love more than that is somebody else who loves the sound of my own voice.
I know. I know. So I recommend couples therapy if you've recently had a child.
Yeah.
Do you think our marriage is going to survive? Should we like put odds on it? Like, do you think we will still be married 10 years from now?
10 years from now?
Yeah.
I doubt I'll be alive 10 years from now. If I am, probably.
What do you think are the odds that we'll still be, like what percent chance that we'll still be married? Are you like 99% confident?
No. No. I mean, probably just means more than 50%, you know?
Yeah. I think there's like a 70% chance we'll still be married.
Okay.
I mean, I've just put up with your shit for so long. It's like, what am I going to do at this point?
Yeah.
Can you see me being like, that's it, I'm leaving?
Yeah.
You can? Maybe. I feel like I've had so many chances and I...
I don't know. I don't know if it would be that sort of like pointed and dramatic. I don't know.
Well, hey, we'll
real
see.
Talk, huh?
Yeah.
That Aperol spritz is hitting hard.
Well, it's one of those things that, again, it's like when you talk to people one-on-one, like everyone's marriage does really struggle after having a kid and nobody really talks about it. But it's really hard. It's hard having like an insane third person in your house who just drains your energy.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had some conversations, some pretty candid conversations with some extremely hot women.
Eric.
At the gym. I mean, I'm kidding. I've had some really candid conversations with friends of mine.
You just went from 70% to 60%. If you're talking to hot ladies at the gym, you're done.
I'm not. I have one friend at the gym and he's a super jacked guy. Okay. and frankly, you should be worried. I've had some very, very candid conversations with friends of mine who are dads. And I would say in the grand scheme of things, like, I'm 41, turning 42 this year. I've gotten started being a dad much later than a lot of people. And I would say that it is an extremely common sentiment among people who have had kids that like the relationship is really, really hard. Like it's just.
Well, what advice would you give to a man who just had his first child around 40?
I have no advice for that person.
No, but like you've been through it. What are the things that we could have done differently or that you like if we could do it over that like some advice that I would give someone is get a babysitter. As soon as you feel okay leaving the baby, like just have a regular every couple weeks, go out, have dinner.
Yes, absolutely. I think the mistake that we have made and continue to make, we started making this mistake literally from day one, I would say, is that
is this my surviving, not thriving thing?
Yes. We never got out of this mindset of like,
oh fuck, this baby's here. What do we do?
Like, I'm just putting the fires out. I'm playing whack-a-mole today and I'm just putting the fires out. And when the kid goes back to sleep, okay. Whew, and then it's exhale, watch TV for a couple hours, relax, go to sleep, wake up, do the same thing. And it's like,
and like do it all grudgingly. I think that's been,
well, it becomes grudgingly very quickly because you never get out in front of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's this thing that I've talked about, like when I was really into running, you know, I've done half marathons, never did a full marathon, but like I've talked to friends who are trying to get into running and talking about the feeling of running. And there's this feeling that I talk about where I say on a good day, it feels like you're always out in front of your run. And on a bad day, you can't get out in front of it. You're always sort of like, you never get your breath totally. You never feel energized. You're never like up on the balls of your feet. Like you're never out in front of it. You're just always pushing and it's like a grind. And I feel like we've been in that mode where it's like, we're going, we're doing it, but we've never felt like we're in front of it.
And I think that's not actually reality, because when I think about, like, when we sit after he goes to sleep and we look at pictures and videos from the day, it's like, we had so much fun today.
Totally.
We did fun stuff. He did something new. We had a great time as a family. But I think it's just while we're in it, it just feels like we're barely.
Yeah. I'm not saying this to be funny. It is a flaw in us. It is it is our inability to, I don't know what it's our inability to do. If I knew that, maybe I'd be able to solve it.
Like adapt or something, or.
Yeah. Like I was looking at,
accept our reality.
I was looking at Instagram yesterday, and this dude who I used to work with, who, and I think you might know him, I'm not going to say his name, but, he has a kid. Him and his wife had a kid a couple years ago. I think I want to say,
tell me who it is and we'll beep it out.
Anyway, just sort of like a total Brooklyn hipster guy. His wife's total Brooklyn hipster. They had a kid. I think they moved to LA with the kid, took the kid to LA because they're moving to LA, and they're back in the city visiting right now. And he's a guy who, like, every single thing he posts on Instagram is like, here I am with my kid hanging out, having a good time, or here I am partying late at night at a bar, having a great time, or here I am on a beach vacation with my son in the blue waters of the Caribbean. And I think he has just decided that, like, whatever that extra work is that goes into bringing this kid into what I do, that's what I'm doing.
That's what we should be doing.
I agree, but for some reason, we are not those people, and I don't know why. And
not to blame you, but I am kind of blaming you because I travel a lot for work. Yeah, I go to Europe. I was in Miami. I go to LA, and I keep, every time I have a trip, I'm like, why don't you guys come with me? Like, you know, it's going to be annoying on the plane, whatever, but then we'll be in a new place and we'll get to, like, experience it with him.
Yeah.
And I feel like you've been very opposed to doing that. And even when we talked about, like, I want to go on a vacation this winter and take him somewhere.
Yeah. Well, I haven't been opposed to that.
Yeah.
I've been very open to that. And I thought, like, we were kind of like having a.
Yeah, but, like, it hasn't happened. We've been talking about it all year. And I think it's sort of like, I think you're very apprehensive about the plane ride, which would be annoying, but everyone does it. It's like, it's doable.
Yeah.
You bring lots of snacks and an iPad.
Yeah.
And stuff.
I'm 100% like, you know, I'm.
But I do think you get very hung up on, like, the
logistics
and, like, how inconvenient that moment will be. And I think what a lot of people do, you know, I was just telling you, my coworker just flew to India with her kid this week, and it was a 12-hour flight and then a layover and then a 4-hour flight, something crazy. And it's like, that's horrible.
Yeah.
But then it's one day and then it's over.
Like, yeah. And meanwhile, Benny has literally never met my sister because I'm not willing to drive 2 hours to Pennsylvania.
Yeah. So I think that there is something there of, like, if this is something we want to do better, that's an example, is we could just be like, okay, like, this might be inconvenient, but we can handle the inconvenience. And also we can plan ahead to make it less inconvenient. Like, you know, we know he'll stare at Cocomelon for 8 hours if we let him.
Yeah.
If we bring a big bag of snacks and, like, some toys he hasn't seen before, like, he probably would be fine.
Yeah.
Or, like, not, you know, nothing horrible would happen. It might be annoying. And there's two of us. It's like, we can take turns and whatever. So I would like us to do more of that. But I think your other hesitation has been, like, if you come with me on a work trip, that means you're watching him during the day while I'm working.
Yeah.
But you can do that. I feel like you've gotten so much better at that and so much more confident. And if you could take him to, like, a cool museum in Europe, or, like, go see a new playground, or, like, just walk around in a new place.
I feel more confident about that now than I ever felt in the past. Yeah. Like, I definitely, moving back down to Brooklyn and having stretches where you've been traveling and he's been home sick with me and kind of getting through that. But I didn't really have the confidence to say that I could, like, really get through that. So in the past, the thought of going to another country where there's literally, like, no one else I can call for help or even know what to do if there's, like, a problem.
There's nothing I would be doing that I wouldn't be able to come if there's an emergency.
Yeah.
Also, other countries have, like, good emergency healthcare. So.
But I just think that, like, it was just such a non-starter in my mind to even.
Yeah. So I think we can, you know, we're at the point now, he's 20 months old. We're getting better at getting babysitters.
Yeah.
I think we should try traveling. Maybe we should start with a vacation. And then if that goes well, we could do but it would be so much more I hate leaving him at home for a week while I'm on a work trip. And I go to so many cool places. Like, we should do that. Okay. The other thing I wanted to talk about is talking.
Yes.
So when we took him for his 18-month checkup, we were like, he's 100% going to be, like, speech delayed, and they're going to say he has some kind of problem, because he's really not talking. And still, I mean, he's 20 months now. So he says like the same five words he's been saying for a few months, which is like, he says none instead of done. He says mom and dad. He says cocoa for cocoa melon.
Well, he just picked up banana and apple.
Yes, but okay, say how he says banana.
Banana.
No, it's more like balala. It's not even an N, it's like an L sound. Balala. It's like he's making the sounds but doing the wrong mouth movements somehow.
Yeah. I feel like it's a positive thing.
Yeah, like he's getting there for sure.
And he's got a sound that means a thing.
Yeah, like when he says balala, we know he means banana. Yeah. How does he say apple?
Bap.
He's like bap.
Yeah, bap.
Yeah. So he's getting there. Yeah. But when we took him in at 18 months, they were like, this is exactly where we would expect him to be.
Yeah.
She was looking for like 10 words. And she was like, they don't have to be words that other people would recognize. But if you recognize what he means, that counts. Like he says Baba for water.
Yeah.
He says, hey, and no. So he has a handful, but he has started like, he's doing a lot of gibberish now.
Yeah.
Like I think he's interested in talking.
Lots of like new sounds every day. Like it sounds like he's just, it feels like he's so on the cusp.
He had that day a few weeks ago. I don't know if everyone has seen the movie Barbarian, and I don't want to spoil it, but there's like a
spoiler ahead.
Light spoiler. There's a monster in the movie.
Yeah.
That says, say it.
Bebe. Bebe.
Like baby. Yeah. And there was a day a few weeks ago where he was saying that exactly that way. And I was like, I was really freaked out.
Yeah.
I was like, did you see Barbarian while we were
Bebe.
Out?
His gibberish has like kind of ramped up, I would say, in a way that like he is like he'll be pointing and speaking gibberish, and like there is intention behind this gibberish that sounds like he thinks he's trying to say something to you.
Yeah. So that's why he gets frustrated when we don't understand.
Yeah. So I think that's why I feel like he's really right on the cusp of and the way he's able to like, you know, not say banana or apple perfectly, but remember that like those sounds mean this thing. Like I really think he's piecing it together. So
yeah. Do you think he's spoiled?
Yes. Like it just unbelievably spoiled.
I'm a little worried. We're coming up on Christmas, and I was just saying to Eric that I can't wait to give him a bunch of presents to open. And Eric was like, oh, you mean like every day? Because every time we go to, like, if we go to the grocery store or Walmart or whatever, it's like anything he points at, I'm like, oh my God, you want that? Let's get 10 of them.
Yeah.
Because I just want him to have everything. Yeah, I think it's partially because he was an IVF baby. Like he was so, I really felt like I was never going to get to have a baby.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, I want him and me to have every experience you can have. But that's spoiled. That's like the definition.
I think we need to gear it down a little bit with the every single time he goes to the store, he can't be expecting to bring home like a truckload of toys.
Okay, what did you get him at Target the other day?
I got him a giant stuffed dinosaur and
a bumper car
and an electric bumper car that he can drive around.
So it's not just me.
No, I'm saying
to spoil him. It's just so fun.
We need to gear it down a little bit.
Do you think he watches too much TV?
It depends what your definition of too much is.
I'm
like,
asking you your definition.
No, I think that compared to the amount of TV I watched when I was a kid, it is not even like a blip on the radar.
I know, but I think you have like ADD or something from that.
No, I think I have real emotional problems, but I don't think I have ADD.
I think it's like he'll watch a couple hours max, and that's like on a bad day.
Yeah.
Most days he'll watch one or two half hour episodes or something.
Yeah. I just don't think it's that big of a deal.
I'm just worried. Like we've heard stories of our kids, toddlers that just sort of like scream and whine until you put TV on. And I feel like he's getting close to that.
Yeah. I mean, I think if we start seeing signs of that, we should pump the brakes. But
I mean, today he was screaming and crying. And then when I put on Sesame Street, he immediately stopped and went and sat on the couch and was,
but I don't think he was screaming to make you put on Sesame Street.
He was just screaming. Difference.
Yeah. I think if like, he starts demanding that we turn on TV, then it's like, okay.
These days we're watching Coco Melon is his favorite.
Yeah.
He still loves have we talked about the dinosaur show? Maybe not.
No.
Okay. There's this amazing show on Netflix called Jurassic Park Camp Cretaceous.
Yeah.
And it's probably I'm sure it's for much older kids, but it's animated. It's Jurassic Park. But the idea is like kids go there for this summer camp and then they get stuck there alone. And so it's like, it's pretty fucked up. It's like really like pretty gory scenes of dinosaurs like attacking.
And there's never any.
Yes.
No.
Well, you don't see it, but people do get eaten by the dinosaurs.
Yeah. But it always happens off camera.
Yeah. But it's scary.
Yeah.
But he loves it. It's his favorite show.
I think he's watched it in its entirety like 5 times.
Yeah. And that means we've watched it many times. Yeah. But I think you were saying one of the recent times you were watching it through, like there is a lot in the plot, and it's like every time we watch through, we pick up on new details.
Yeah.
So I recommend that if your kid isn't too scared of dinosaurs.
Yeah. Bluey.
Bluey is our favorite.
That's our favorite.
Yeah. That's like, I would watch that even if I didn't have a kid.
Yeah.
And he seems like neutral about it, to be honest. Yeah. I think he prefers Cocomelon, but we love Bluey. Watching Sesame Street
is definitely his favorite, I think.
I think Cocomelon is his favorite.
Really?
Yeah. But I mean, Elmo is his probably favorite.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't know, because now when we go to the store, like he's pointing at Cocomelon or JJ way more than Elmo. Yeah. But what else are we missing? What else does he do? He eats everything.
Eats a very adventurous eater.
Yes, I think you've been very proud of his palate.
Yeah, I made a breakfast sandwich or a ham sandwich or something yesterday with put this really spicy German mustard on it, and you know, he asks me for a bite of my food, and I'm like, I don't think you're gonna like this, man. Like, it's really super horseradishy, like in your nose. And he took a bite and was just like, and he now makes the like, this is good sound.
Oh yeah, he'll take a bite and go. So he does communicate.
Yeah, yeah.
I have learned that when you're buying kid shoes, you should only buy one or two at a time because he immediately outgrows shoes.
Yep. That's it. That's having a kid.
Do you think we're going to have a second child?
I don't know.
What did you say the other day?
I said that if you want to, we
No.
could. I said, I think we will.
Unprompted, Eric said, you know, I think we will have a second kid. And I said, what?
It wasn't unprompted. You asked me the night before.
Yeah, but then you had like thought about it.
Yeah.
And I said, why do you think we'll have a second kid? And you said, well, in for a penny, in for a pound. Right? And that's how we make decisions.
Yeah. No, I feel like you need that.
I do?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I feel like that is sort of an existential need of yours.
I think I had an existential need to have one child. I do think I have a strong preference to also have a girl.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be weird if I didn't have a daughter. I'm just going to have a son who's just like you. And that's it. I just feel like I need something more, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I also feel like I worked so hard to get those embryos.
Yeah.
They're just sitting there.
Yeah. True.
Well, we're going to go have burritos.
Yeah. I think it's time.
Yeah. I'm ready. I'm really hungry. I did want to say I had this idea that Eric won't do. I wanted to do a video episode of our podcast where while we're recording the podcast, our kid is like, you can see him like running around and ruining everything for the hour or less that we're talking.
Yeah.
Eric thinks that sounds stupid. If that sounds like something you would enjoy, let us know. Cause I think it'd be funny. Like if you don't have a kid, getting to see what those interactions look like.
Yeah. I'm not sold.
I know. That's why I'm asking. Spotify actually has a new feature where you can go to a podcast episode and you can like respond, like send feedback. I think it's under a thing that says Q&A and it says, what did you think of this episode or something? So tell us if that sounds good and you want to see a video episode of that, or maybe a video episode of Eric building a toddler chair or flying a drone around or
working out,
crying in the bathroom or, you know, whatever. Let us know if that would be interesting and we'll try it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go get really drunk and have some burritos.
All right. That sounds good.
Do you have a funny sign off or? We're all out of jokes, folks.
Yeah. I'm just ready for lunch and,
gather up some energy and say something interesting.
Well, when you put it that way, I just want to thank Rizzoli and Isles for sponsoring this episode.
No, we decided it was sponsored by Aperol Spritz.
I want to thank Aperol Spritz for sponsoring this episode. When you're feeling like a parent, every morning.
Drink counts.
Every breakfast is an Aperol Spritz breakfast.
That's good. I like that it's not if you are a parent, it's when you're feeling like one.
Yeah, you don't have to
you
be a parent.
You might just be tired.
Yeah.
You need an Aperol Spritz.
Sure.
Okay, bye.